Our scripture today is taken from 1 Corinthians 10, verses 16 through 17. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a sharing in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a sharing in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Our next scripture is taken from Galatians 3, 27 through 29. As many of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself in Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Jesus Christ. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise.
In last week's sermon, the theme was reconciliation. You know, I'm not too fond, now that I think of it, of the word sermon. I preach, you listen. It hardly ever works out that way. What fun is that? Besides, I have found over the years that I am much better at asking questions than answering them. So can we just talk? I'm full of questions. This is World Communion Sunday. I got a gift earlier. I didn't have time to put it on. I need to show it to you, though. Young Caitlin brought me a gift today. I'm not even sure I have one of those. Thanks, Caitlin. Recently, we had all our grandkids down, and we got in the office and took a picture. And Caitlin was in the picture, and just one other. I'm sorry, Susie, you're going to have to share. She's just one of our grandkids now. This is World Communion Sunday. I want you to tell me, and you know I never, ever ask rhetorical questions, right? What makes this table so important to you personally? To you personally. Can you think of one thing that makes this table so important that you, if you come to church and we don't sing a song or you don't hear a sermon, you could leave if you had the communion table? What is there that makes it like that for most of us? It is, okay, a bond and renewal. It's a renewal of that bond, really. I mean, it's when we come and we are joined once again. Jesus. Remembrances, yeah. You know, the dinner table in general is a table of remembrance. I've told you about my grandmother's table, right, that she inherited from her mother and we have now in our kitchen, my great-grandmother's table. And it has one place has cigarette burns on it where my Daddy Henry, my grandfather, he sat at supper time and he had put his cigarette down and it burned down and burned the table. And then Mom would be upset, but she would never say anything. Mom was too sweet. There are iron marks on it. That was her ironing table. And if she left the iron down too long, there's a big burn mark on it. That's where our family happened. It probably is for you too. If it's not now, I highly encourage you to start making your dinner table the place where family and things happen. Have you seen that new commercial? where the mom sits down, or she stands over the dinner table, and dad and the two kids, they're on their deals, and she picks up her phone and hits pause, and all of their screens go off. Where do I buy one of those? But she was right. That is the time we need to bond. And this is that table for us. Okay. If bringing the reconciling love of Christ to each other and to our community and to whoever would grace these doors, if that is our goal, then this and this, these are our vehicles. This table, I don't know, some of you know it. This was the first communion table of First Christian Church Conroe. I think it got a 1934 on it, I think. That would be about right. So the table is where things happen. Second question. Who is invited to the table? Are you sure? Okay. Can Baptists come to our table?
Yes.
Catholics?
Yes.
Surely not Episcopalians. Okay. Stretch it. And I know this is going to bug some of you. Do you have to be a Christian to come to this table? That does make you think a little differently, doesn't it? If you say yes, then I get to say, who decides? Here's the way I answer that question. If someone deems this table important enough to come, the welcome mat is out. You're the only one who can decide that you won't come to this table. Okay. So all if I meet a Muslim or a Jew or a Buddhist or a Hindi and I invite them to the table, are they welcome? Yes. Do they have to leave their faith at the door? No. This is the welcome table. Our prayer might be silently that they be touched by the Spirit of Christ. Is it my goal to learn about their faith, or is it my goal to convert them to mine? Think about that a little bit, right? Okay, now we're supposed to go out. We're supposed to spread the gospel. Okay. How do you answer that question? Is it my duty to learn about their faith, or is it my duty to convince them that I am right and they are wrong? No. Okay, I got a both. Your duty to learn. I think that's it. I think that's it. Yeah. There's some strange passages in Scripture. One is Jesus talks about some sheep that are not of this fold. I have no idea what he meant, but I'm going to take it to mean this. I don't have to convert anybody. Oh, now this question is, if that one made the little hairs on the back of your neck stand up just a little bit, this will get them in full. Yeah. Okay. Do we live in a Christian nation? And should that be our goal? Whew. Yeah, that makes you uneasy, doesn't it? It really does. It made me uneasy to write it down. I didn't like writing it down. God, are you really sure you want me to ask that question? You know, and we talk about all of the founders being, you know, founded on Christian principles. Well, it really, if you go back and read the biographies, that there were all sorts. There were deists. There were all varieties of religious experience. Some of them with no religious experience. Have you heard of the Thomas Jefferson Bible? You know how that came to be? He took a New Testament and he just started reading it, and the stuff he didn't like, all of the miracle stories and stuff he couldn't explain, he just cut out. And then he literally put it together and took it to a printer, and it was published. I've got one. It's all the stories, all the sayings of Jesus, all the stories without any of the miracles. That was Thomas Jefferson's religion. Wow. Is the world that you live in, and this has to do with reconciliation in this table, is the world that you live in, you personally inhabit, is it becoming more reconciled or more alienated? That's not fair to ask you to put your hand in the air, but does anyone think it is becoming more reconciled? Just internally answer, you know. Yeah, I asked myself that question and I did not like the answer that I got. I believe that we are becoming more divided rather than more reconciled. Last question. Oh yeah, it's the last question. What are you personally willing to do to help move your world toward reconciliation and peace? What are you willing to do? What are you willing to do personally to make this a reconciling world rather than an alienating world? And when this many of us get together, and I can kind of see it on your faces, that when I asked, is it becoming more divided or more reconciled, I could see that you were troubled with that, and you're troubled with it for the same reason that I am. Because we see that, don't we? Okay, we need to be about answering that question. We really need to be about answering that question here. The ripple effect that can happen from one small locale like FCC Conroe can have an effect. Depending on how we present this table to the world, or at least our little corner of the world, depending on how we present this table to the world, it has the power to hurt or it has the power to heal. I hear you say you want it to be a power for healing, that all are welcome at this table. It has the power to reconcile or the power to divide. I hear you saying that you want this to be a table of reconciliation, where real reconciliation takes place. This table has been entrusted to you and me for that very task. We dare not fail. Amen.